Okay, everyone, it being the allotted time, I will open this meeting, this special council meeting, at 5 o'clock. Just bear with me as I try to open this document. Libby, we are not recording. We are recording until we go behind. Okay. So we're recording at the moment. So this is being... Now, I'll acknowledge the traditional owners of the past and present traditional owners of the land on which we gather to conduct this meeting and pay respects to their elders, both past and present. I have no announcements at this time. I do not believe that there are any apologies from councillors. And in attendance, we have two officers and the minutes clerk and the consultant. do we have any declarations of interest? No? Okay. We have no...
No declarations of interest, but I have a question before we go much further. In the preamble to the meeting, it says that no decisions will be made by councillors, but we've been asked for one. If you look at special council meeting, on the first paragraph it says no decisions by council are made at this forum.
Cut and paste from the
I think
position?
It's probably a cut and paste from the briefing, and perhaps we should delete that.
I think perhaps we should.
Sorry.
It specifically says...
I just noticed it when I switched on, when I came in.
That's correct. That should be removed.
Okay, thank you. That's what I thought, just a minute.
Yep. No, that's good. Thank you. Okay, so thank you for that, Councillor Carter. Someone is paying more attention to the preamble than what I did. So... okay, declarations of interest. I don't believe there are any tonight. There are no deputations. There are no members of the public in the gallery for public question time or statements. So we will head on to the reports. And this will be a confidential item, so could I have a mover to go behind closed doors? Councillor Wilding, second. Councillor Ames. Anyone against? I declare that carried. So we're behind closed doors. The recording is... Would you advise when it's off? Recording is commenced. Yes? Okay. So welcome, everyone, to the October Ordinary Council meeting for the Town of Bassendean. I would like to acknowledge the past and present traditional owners of the land on which we gather to conduct this meeting and pay respects to their elders, both past and present. meeting opened at 6 p.m. announcements by the presiding person without question. I'd like to encourage residents to contribute their feedback to the draft appoint reserve concept plan, which is out for community consultation at the moment. This can be found on the town's website. Also, there are hard copies of the documents in the town's library and at the administration building, the seniors centre, and also Wind in the Willows. No, yes, not sure. Yes, at Wind in the Willows as well. so please do contribute your feedback. There are various plans for the community to peruse and offer their ideas and suggestions. Also, on the 14th of November, the town is switching to skip bins on demand. And this will replace the bulk of verge collections that have traditionally occurred at this time of year. The skips on demand will provide a greater capacity for waste and allow residents to organise their waste removal at times throughout the year that suits their timeline, or rather than trying to work to a council timeline. So there is information available on the town's website about skips on demand. Also, there will be information delivered to each residential property showing how and indicating how these skips may be ordered. Attendances, apologies and applications for leave. Now, we have one apology for tonight from Mr. Paul White. I don't believe there's any other apologies for tonight. Do we have any applications for leave? Councillor McLennan.
I will be interstate between November 18th and 27th, which means I would miss the November briefing session, but back for the council meeting.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? Okay, can I have a mover? Councillor Ames moved, seconded Councillor Wilding. Anyone against? I declare that carried. Councillors, do we have any declarations of interest tonight? Councillor Palifka?
It's not so much a declaration of an interest, it's a declaration as to why I don't have an interest, but thought I should still ventilate that nonetheless. So in relation to the draft local planning scheme number 11, so that's item 12.5, there is a treatment applied in there where there is a special control area for lands which are within the flood fringe of the town. So myself, as with a large number of people in the town, own properties which are located in that area. I've conferred with the CEO, who is well versed in these matters, having been our director of planning for some time now, and he had essentially confirmed that that treatment neither confers nor curtails any rights or other advantages or disadvantages in relation to land of that nature. It simply puts people on notice. So it says that there's this area. It's already governed by a state planning policy 2.9. If you want to know more about it, go and talk to them. They'll tell you what you can and can't do. So it's really more to give people notification as opposed to, as I said, creating or destroying any rights. So on that basis, not an interest, but not just the transparency, would declare that that's why that interest is not being declared. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Palifka. Okay, I do not believe we have any deputations tonight.
Sorry, can I do a little deputation?
Deputation?
Yeah.
Or is it a statement?
No, I just do a deputation.
Did you have any notification of this?
I can now.
Yeah.
Yep. So, councillors, under the local law, I can refer the request to council to accept this deputation by a vote of council.
May I have a question?
Yes.
Can we seek to understand what the topic of the deputation is?
Yes, please. What is the topic, sir?
I just want to ask about point reserve and potential gate on it under the concept.
Public question time.
But then the councillor can't ask the question back to me, that's all.
Yep. So, councillors, Councillor McLennan?
I'm happy to move it.
Seconder? Councillor Carter? Anyone against? Okay, so if you could come to the microphone would be... actually, no, you can sit at the table, so this is a deputation, not a statement. And you generally have a maximum of 10 minutes, and thereafter, councillors can ask questions.
Okay. Do you know your statement and everything, sorry?
Yes, please.
Aaron McKay, 33 North Road, Bassendean. Just with the concept plan for Point Reserve, I just wanted to emphasise some sort of gated access to prevent vehicles travelling down there during night time. This could be done with some sort of electronic thing, so it just shuts itself automatically after a certain time with a sensor pad on the exit sort of thing of it. So if anyone needs to exit, they can exit the property, sort of, well, sorry, not the property, but the park, because for some reason the park sends you a lot of traffic at night. You guys have done a survey with the sensors there, and I just obviously got some sort of numbers of what time cars are going down there. Fortunately, I live right next door to Point Reserve, and it's a very nice place, but for some reason we get a lot of traffic at 2 o'clock in the morning and 12 o'clock at night going down the reserve, and the driveway happens to be right next to our property. So we'd just be asking if that could be something that's looked at under the proposal for Point Reserve.
Okay. Councillors, would you like to ask questions? Councillor Lennon.
So you and I've had a couple of chats about this already.
Yep.
And I think last time we spoke, I asked you whether you had a chance to have a chat to some of the other property owners in that proximity to Point Reserve to, you know, generate any little support, but you had the opportunity to do so yet?
Not yet, and I'm hoping to do it on the weekend when we have a little bit of a get-together with some of the other thing. But I don't think it probably impacts them as much because they're not directly alongside the reserve like we are. But I don't think anyone would be opposed to it.
And I imagine that you have completed your formal submission on the Point Reserve concept plan and included
on
that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because then when it comes back to council, I'm sure the officers will make a comment to us about whether or not that's a, you know, a viable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Councillor Carter?
Eric, do you envisage that the Point Reserve development is going to increase traffic, or has it always been a problem?
I wouldn't say it's going to increase traffic at that time. It probably will increase traffic during the daytime, depending on what concept that you guys go with. But I'm hoping that it won't also increase traffic at night time into the reserve, because my conversation with one of the staff members, lighting was going to try and be kept at a low level because of the nature of animals wanting to do nighttime activities, which I understand, and it's just something that I think will help, you know, prevent people going down there at night with lights and all the rest of this sort of stuff and carrying on, but would also, you know, affect that.
I have a question. Do you have a time in mind for when a gate should prevent people accessing the area?
No, I don't think it matters between if it's 6 a.m. in the morning till 9 o'clock at night would be fine. I don't think, yeah, it's more that really late traffic, which you just don't understand why people are going down there.
Okay. Councillor McWilliam?
I wonder how successful a gate across the road would be if people just decide to park at the top and walk down.
Yeah, I don't think that's why they're going down there. I think they're doing other activities down there which mightn't be law abiding. They usually have two vehicles pull up at a certain period of time, and then those two vehicles will leave at about the same time. So I think that would be, they're not going down there for a stroll and look at the possums, unfortunately.
Councillor Blithka.
These vehicles that are coming late at night, early in the morning, are they leaving individually?
No.
Okay, so they are just parking and transacting and leaving? So your concern is primarily the noise and the lighting as they drive past at that?
Pretty much, and then what, you know, trying to prevent them from using that area to do that sort of transaction.
So if there were a solution which would attenuate the light pollution and noise to an acceptable level, would that be a solution that you would be prepared to consider? And finally, in terms of, so it's not people using the park at those times, it's just them arriving by motor vehicle and driving past you at your house, that's the issue?
Yeah, because they tend to, Point Reserve tends to turn a little bit and deviate as you come down the road, so the lights shine back into our house.
So the headlights weren't coming directly into your house, so that could go a long way to solving the problem?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
But also, sorry, the lighting at the reserve shuts off at 10 o'clock, so you then can't see what people are, or people can't see down in the reserve at all.
No.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay, so we'll move on to statements by members of the public on any agenda item. Would anybody like to make a statement? Okay, so now we move on to questions from members of the public. So, yes, sir.
Aaron K, 33 North Road, Bassanine. Just a quick one, sorry. The Point Reserve, the bit that's currently in yellow, which is owned by the state government, we were told by Swan River Trust that the town of Bassanine looked after the mowing of that. Is that correct or not?
Sorry, I'll ask the officer to answer that.
Through the chair, no, that's incorrect. So the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage currently mows that area, so they're the state government department.
Could I get someone to send me their phone number, please? Can you give me a call?
Yes, I can forward you the details. Yep.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we do have a written question from, which is from Mr. Yates. Okay, in the weekend press was an article about the housing crisis in Perth, and even with the planned land releases to create 160,000 new blocks of land, it will impose serious burdens on the estimated 385,000 people with families. Does the Deputy Mayor McLennan and CEO have any regret for... I think that this should be answered by the staff during the week. So, I believe it's already been answered, hasn't it?
Yes, Madam.
Right, okay, fine, thank you. Apologies for that, councillors. Okay, I don't believe there's any petitions for tonight, so we'll move on to item 9, which is confirmation of minutes. So 9.1A, that the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 27th of September 2022 be received. Do I have a mover, Councillor McWilliam, seconded, Councillor Ames? Anyone against? I declare that carried. Item 9.1B, that the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 27th of September 2022 be confirmed as a true record. Councillor McWilliam, Councillor Ames? Anyone against? I'll declare that carried. Okay, we now move on to there's no business deferred from the previous meeting. External committee reports and updates, which is item 11.1, and the officer recommendation that the council notes the documents from external committees has been received within the reporting period. Do I have a mover? Councillor Wilding, seconded, Councillor Carter. Anyone against? Declare that carried. Okay, so now, councillors, we will move on to officer reports. So, councillors, just to reiterate that the numbering on these reports has changed now. So the numbers that we were all referring to previously, the numbers are all 2 ahead of that now. So we have items on block. I have item 12.3 coming out of on block, which is the draft local planning scheme number 11. Do I have any other items?
Sorry, can I just clarify? So we've got 12.5 here for that item. Is it 12.1 or 12.3?
12.3.
12.3 is the correct number?
Mm. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes, then. Can I also ask for the short stay accommodation, which I believe would then be 12.4, and the draft public health plan, which would be 12.5.
Okay, so in the old numbering, that's 12.5, 12.6 and 12.7 coming out. And in the new numbering, that's 12.3, 12.4 and 12.5. Apologies for this, councillors. It's just been a little bit of a mistake there. So do councillors have any other items coming out of en bloc? Okay, so can I have a mover for the remaining items, which is item 12.2, 12.7, 12.8, 12.9 and 12.10 under the new numbering. Can I have a mover for that? Councillor Wilding seconded. Councillor Ames. Anyone against? I'll declare that carried. So, councillors, we will move on to the first item, which is 12.3 or 12.5 in the old language.
Would you mind, when you say the number, also referring to the item?
Yes, I will. Thank you. Okay, so this is the draft local planning scheme 11. So would you like to speak to this, Ms Shaw?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. At the briefing session, Councillor Ames questioned what would constitute a significant tree for the purposes of the new scheme provisions. In response to that inquiry, there's no prescribed parameters in relation to what would constitute a significant tree. Rather, Council would be required to consider the tree on its merits the same way it currently considers tree preservation orders. So the trees that are currently considered as trees are subject of a tree preservation order would then be converted to constitute a significant tree, and it would then be an offence to remove a tree. One of the other things that has not been included in the officer's report but is evidenced in the draft attachment is the removal of the town's definition of development. The removal of that provision was at the request of the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage to ensure that the definition of development was consistent with the definition contained in the Planning and Development Act 2005. The reason that the town has removed that is to ensure that there's no delays. So in the instance that there are inconsistencies between the advice previously received by the Department of Planning in considering the draft and the West Australian Planning Commission considering the draft document prior to granting certification to advertise, the town was concerned that the WAPC may direct the town to modify the document. So to ensure that there are no delays in advertising, we've amended the draft documents consistent with their advice.
Thank you for that. Councillor McLennan, you have a question?
Yeah, I asked similar questions to Mr Gibson yesterday. Just in relation to the definition of significant tree, my understanding was that what the definition we currently have in local planning policy 13, is it? That we have our own definition of what a significant tree would be?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Within Local Planning Policy 13, there are parameters to what would be suitable for a tree preservation order to warrant that designation. So it includes whether it has historical and aesthetic value and things like that, but it doesn't include details as to the height and girth of a tree, which we were otherwise proposing as part of the original definition for a significant tree. So the new definition, there is no definition under the new scheme for what a significant tree is. It's just any tree that council designates as a significant tree, similar to the existing tree preservation order provisions. So it's almost renamed.
So in the absence of there being a specific definition, is there more ability for people to challenge the significant tree register and so on?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I don't believe so, in the same fashion that the parameters that are included in Local Planning Policy 13 provide council the ability to designate them. So once it's designated, the tree would be afforded that protection. On the outcome of the draft scheme, we would review Local Planning Policy 13 to amend any terminology within that local planning policy for consistency with the scheme.
You also mentioned the removal of the definition of development that the town had previously proposed. I fully appreciate what you said about not wanting to create delays, but would it not be open to WAPC when they again have it presented before them to make that change themselves? The reason for asking is we could get them asked to make changes to something that we want. Why can't they make the change when they receive the document?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The West Australian Planning Commission has 90 days to consider the document. When they consider the document, it's likely that they would direct the local government to amend the draft text as opposed to amending it and then granting certification for advertising. So typically what happens is that they would move a motion to require the local government to amend the document, which, depending on the nature of the changes, could require us to reconsider, or for council to reconsider, the draft document prior to resubmitting it to the West Australian Planning Commission for their certification. So there is the risk that there would be delays in advertising if we're directed to amend it.
But at the moment, WAPC hasn't directed us to remove it. It's just the staff who are recommending it to the committee.
That is correct. We've amended the draft documents on the advice from the Department of Planning through drafting the document, and also as a result of some of the feedback that was received on our draft local planning strategy.
So, sorry, now I'm taking a lot of time, but if we were to leave that in and the recommendation to the WAPC was to remove it or to direct the town to remove it, we would be aware of that in advance, but actually going to the WAPC and there'd be an opportunity to provide a response that, yes, we'll remove it and give us permission to advertise at the same time.
Through you, Madam Mayor, it's difficult to foreshadow what the WAPC would recommend, because it's likely that they would recommend that the local government amend the draft document first before resubmitting. They don't typically make a modification and grant certification to advertise at the same time, because they usually provide the local government the opportunity to consider the changes that have been made by the WAPC before considering whether they want to proceed with that draft document.
Last question. So how does WAPC ever get to see something that's different from the standard that the department presents to them?
It is open for local governments to submit any version of the draft scheme it would like, but given the various iterations of the draft scheme text, the town's worked with the Department of Planning and received advice back and forth to create a draft document that is generally to their satisfaction. And we have submitted that document for council's consideration to ensure the smoothest passage towards certification for advertising.
Thank you.
With your indulgence, councillors, I'd like to follow on from Councillor McLennan's questions there. Would existing tree preservation orders be transferred into a significant tree register? Like, would they automatically be transferred because we're changing the categorisation of these? So can I just ask how that affects the tree preservation orders that already exist?
There are currently no transitional provisions within the draft scheme text related to converting existing tree preservation orders. So the town's intent, if the significant trees are included in the final version of the scheme, would be to effectively convert the existing tree preservation order register to a significant tree register, but write to affected landowners at the same time.
Okay. I'll allow other Councillor Plifka while I digest that.
The Director of Planning, are you aware of any instance where a definition in the Planning and Development Act has been successfully redefined in a scheme in a way which is inconsistent with the Planning and Development Act?
Through you, Madam Mayor, no.
Thank you.
Can I ask another question on this same line? If we do not make, if we make these changes and it goes out to advertising in respect to the trees, and there is significant community feedback that wishes to see something that is different from what has been drafted by WAPC, how often is that community feedback taken into consideration? Because clearly it will come back to council first and then it will go back. So I'm interested in how often that community consultation has weight with the WAPC.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Under the Planning and Development Local Planning Schemes regulations, the council's actually required to have regard to any submissions received on the matter in considering the final version of the scheme text. In terms of whether or not weight is placed on the submission, it depends whether the submission has planning merit, and that would be open for the West Australian Planning Commission to consider before making its recommendation to the Minister on the final scheme text.
Thank you for that. Councillors, more questions? Councillor McLennan, followed by Councillor Politica.
Just following on from Ms. Hamilton's question. After we've gone out for consultation on whatever version that the OPC approves, when it came back to Council following advertisement, if we reinserted a definition such as what's currently in the draft, would it then, before WAPC approval, would it then bounce it back to Council to modify, or would they just consider it and either approve or amend as they saw fit?
Madam Mayor, if the WAPC considers that the final version presented to them is substantially different to what was advertised, they can redirect the local government to re-advertise the draft scheme text. Otherwise, they would consider the weight of the submissions and justification for reinserting that provision before making a recommendation to the Minister.
Councillor Politica.
Director of Planning again. In relation to the weighted submissions, obviously that's input coming from the community. And you said that that would then be considered based on planning merit. Are there two gates that essentially that has to get through? Is it in the first instance that the town's administration would consider whether it has some merit? And then secondly, it would be the WPC that's the ultimate arbiter. At the stage where the town is considering whether it has merit, would the town, permit things which were marginal and leave the ultimate decision to the WAPC? I mean, if something's completely outrageous, then that would be dismissed out of hand, I should imagine. But if something's at least arguable, would the town generally include that and let the WAPC ultimately decide, provided that there was large community support for whatever the particular change is?
Thank you. Through you, Madam Mayor. The Minister for Planning has the ultimate decision on the scheme in any instance, regardless of what recommendation Council makes. In terms of the weight of the submission, we would consider whether it has planning merit. And so by planning merit, I mean all the things that can otherwise be considered in accordance with the regulations. So things like amenity, safety, health, etc., whereas things like commercial competition, property values, etc., are not considered to be relevant planning considerations.
Yeah, so that I suppose filtering process is a two-stage process, and the town administration would consider whether it had enough merit to warrant referring it on to the WPC, and then they would ultimately decide?
No, through you, Madam Mayor. So the town will review all of the submissions when they're received and provide a recommendation to Council on whether the draft text should be modified to reflect the submissions that have been received, in addition to providing a schedule of submissions to Council to consider. Council will then be required to make a recommendation to the West Australian Planning Commission on whether it adopts the final scheme text. After that, the West Australian Planning Commission can either redirect the local government to advertise it if the changes are substantial, or it can make its recommendation to the Minister to either adopt the scheme or not approve the scheme.
Overwhelming support from the community for something which had no planning merit, that would be the recommendation to Council at that point in time, and so look, this doesn't have a chance of succeeding, so we're not going to progress to the step whereby we put that before the WAPC and await them to give us the rejection, which we are very confident would be forthcoming.
Thank you, through you, Madam Mayor. So the town will make a recommendation based on planning grounds, but it's open to Council to make a different decision and put that recommendation to the WAPC.
Okay, thank you.
Councillors, with your indulgence, Ms. Shaw, you and I had a conversation today regarding right-of-ways and ceding of private property to widen right-of-ways. Would you be able to share, because my question was, were there opportunities for alternative ways of dealing with right-of-ways rather than widening, i.e. one-way right-of-ways? And you gave some insights into that. Would you be able to share those insights with councillors?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Madam Mayor. So typically rights of way should be at least 6 metres wide to provide for safe two-way traffic. A number of the town's rights of way are undersized, as was identified in the audit that was prepared in accordance with the rights of way strategy. So where the rights of way are, for example, 4 metres wide, and in the instance that the town can't cede land through the subdivision and development process for the widening of that rights of way, so for example, where there's already existing development that would otherwise prohibit future widening, the town can liaise with the Department of Planning as to preparing engineering drawings that would otherwise be supported by the department for an underwidth right of way. And that can include measures like traffic calming devices, one-way traffic through the right-of-way, but we would need to receive the support from the department for those engineering drawings prior to their agreement to not have the right-of-way widened.
Thank you for that. May I have a follow-on question with that? If council wanted to prioritise those types of investigations prior to potential ceding of land, would we be able to do that effectively through a policy, a change in the policy, rather than changing the draft scheme?
Thank you. The town's actually already in the process of progressing those drawings, as was a mechanism of the rights of way strategy that was adopted by council. So we receive strategic direction from council as to which rights of way should be retained, which ones should be closed.
Yep.
And for those that are proposed to be retained and upgraded, the town will be in the process of preparing engineering drawings for any underwidth right of way. Once we present those drawings to the department, if they're not satisfied that the right of way would remain safe underwidth, then we would need to bring the strategy back to council to reconsider whether it proposes to close those rights of ways that can no longer be upgraded and used.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Councillors, do you have any further questions on this particular item? Okay. Councillor McLennan, given your questions, you're not proposing, or you are proposing an amendment? No. Okay. Thank you. So we have an officer recommendation. Do I have a mover for that officer? Councillor Wilding, seconded Councillor Ames. Do I have anyone against? I declare that carried. Okay, we move on to what was item 12.6, now 12.4. The heading for that item is Draft Local Planning Policy Short Stay Accommodation. Again, I believe this is you, Ms. Shaw.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So as discussed at the briefing session, the draft policy was previously considered by Council at its July ordinary meeting for consultation. Seven submissions were received during the consultation period. The only amendment to the draft policy is that the town has proposed to increase the catchment whereby short stay accommodation could be accommodated, so increasing it from the 400 metres that was advertised on the basis of the council modification back to the original draft of an 800 metre walkable catchment.
Thank you. Councillor McLennan.
My apologies, I wasn't at the briefing and the recording cut out, so you may have answered this question last week. Just in relation to the 400 metre change to the 800 metre, is there any disadvantage of council retaining the 400 metre? Because I imagine that that would give us a little bit more scope if there were proposals that we didn't think were appropriate outside of that catchment, that we would have a mechanism to be able to refuse them more easily.
Through you, Madam Mayor. So local planning policies guide discretionary decision making of council. So even if an application came in that was outside 400 metres, it would be open for council to either approve or refuse the application. A number of the concerns that I believe were identified in reducing the catchment down to 400 metres related to the ability of the applicants to manage the facility. And within the draft local planning policy, it includes requirements for management plans, which can be reinforced by conditions of development approval in any instance. So if it was the case that an application for short stay accommodation was approved, say, within 800 metres, the town would impose appropriate conditions to ensure the management of that development. If in the instance there was a breach of those conditions, we could undertake enforcement and compliance action against the landowner.
But would you have concerns about council reverting back to the 400 metre radius that was advertised?
Thank you. Through you, Madam Mayor. Similar to my comments that I made on the draft scheme, the local government is required to consider submissions received during the consultation period. During the consultation period, we did receive submissions requesting that the policy be changed back to 800 metres. And from a planning perspective, because it provides for transit-orientated development and sustainable transport options, our preference would be for 800 metres, but it's, of course, open for council to revert back to 400 metres.
Thank you.
Councillor Plifka.
With regard to planning, I understand that there's a certain distance from train stations where the planning legislation there are certain concessions given for the kinds of dwellings or the number of parking bays that dwellings can have. What distance is that?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the Residential Design Code prescribes 800 metres to reduce the number of car parking bays provided on site. So anywhere within 800 metres for a single house that would otherwise require two bays can go down to one bay.
So essentially we would make it consistent with that overarching policy?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Further questions, councillors? Councillor McLennan?
I'm happy to move the officer's recommendation, but I would prefer us to revert back to the 400 metre radius, so I'll be moving it with that amendment.
So would you like to move the officer's recommendation with that amendment?
That is correct.
Okay. So do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Wilding. Do we have anyone opposed to that? Councillor Plifka. So, Councillor McLennan, would you like to speak to this?
Oh, just really briefly. As we just heard our Acting Director say, the policy guides Council. It doesn't bind us in any way. We've had discussions in this room about the housing crisis that currently exists and that there's not enough rental accommodation for people. By providing more short-stay accommodation, that reduces the amount of rental properties that are available for people living in our town. So while we don't want to discourage this, I think by having a smaller radius, it sends a message around what our priorities are and that we would prefer for accommodation to be used for residents as opposed to short-stay accommodation. We've heard that this doesn't stop applications outside the 400 metre radius, so we're in no way limiting the potential for people to put in proposals. And from having discussions with the staff before, if there is a proposal which is suitable, they'll present it for council to make an individual decision. I just think that our policy should reflect our values and what our priorities are, and our priorities are around providing housing for our residents in and around our town centre. So I'd encourage you to include this amendment just to reduce the guided radius to 400 metres without it having a substantial impact on people's ability to propose short-stay accommodation in areas outside of this.
Councillor Wilding.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just very briefly, as the councillor who moved the original amendment to the policy to reduce it to 400 metres, for the reasons outlined by Councillor McLennan regarding the impact that short-stay accommodation can have on people within our community, actually being able to find accommodation within our community. I think the more mechanisms Council has to consider those applications in that broader context are important, and as such, we encourage supporting this amendment to the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Plifka, against?
Well, I suppose people in our community that already have these dwellings that might want to use them for a particular purpose, and then we need to think of them as well. So there's obviously the people that might want to move in as tenants, and obviously the smaller distance will have more stock for them. There's a pretty difficult economic time, so you might find that people that already have existing dwellings here might want to derive a little additional income through this process. So I'd be minded to, I suppose, give people that are currently within the town the best ability to address the current financial circumstances and raise money through this particular endeavour, if that's what they wish to do. In terms of the walking distance, I mean, that's consistent, so 800 metres would be appropriate. Any further is a bit of a stretch. But yeah, it's just a balancing of the rights of the owners of the property and how they might seek to use those. And I think that's closely run, but I think it comes down
more in favour of the 800 metres as opposed to 400, especially having regard to interest rates and the stresses that homeowners can be under. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Plipka. Any speakers for? Any other speakers against?
I'll just quickly jump on. I'm with Councillor Plipka, so I'm going to hold my right to reserve to speak because all the comments have already been made, so thank you.
Any other speakers for or against? I'll speak for this amended motion. As has been stated, the applicants that are outside the 400 square metre can make an application to come before council. So it doesn't preclude short stay accommodation being established in other areas outside the 400 square metre. I have long been an advocate of the fact that we have reduced rental accommodation in the town for various reasons, and short stay accommodation has been an issue more so in other areas, particularly tourist areas rather than our town. Nevertheless, I think that we should provide careful consideration for applicants of this nature, and certainly anything under 400 square metres can be determined by the administration. Anything outside of 400 metres could come before this council or future councils for determination. So I actually support this amended notice. On that note, I will put this to the vote. You're right. Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to address Councillor Plipka's comments. I don't think it's accurate to say that we are stopping people from being able to earn money from the property that they own. As we've heard, this isn't going to preclude people having their application considered, and I understand the staff will recommend approval to council if it meets, you know, all of the requirements for management of the property and so on. And I'd just like to ask councillors to consider that before we advertise this to our community, we as a council adopted this 400 metre radius, and that is what our community has seen, that is what they have provided comment on. We had a handful of people provide responses, and their opinions are valuable, but I think we had a total of 7, not all of them even commented on the radius. We don't know what people think if we suddenly increase it to 800. If it had been 800, we may have had far more submissions objecting and asking us to reduce it and limit the spread of short stay accommodation. So while it's good to give weight to those submissions that we did receive, I think we need to be mindful of the fact that this isn't actually what we advertised. The 800 metres isn't what we advertised to the community. And people who may have otherwise commented didn't do so because they were comfortable with what we were proposing. So I'd encourage you to support the 400 metre radius, which is what we did advertise to our community and doesn't preclude people from putting in an application outside of that zone.
Thank you. So, councillors, I'll put that to the vote. All those in... Sorry.
Just in case it didn't succeed, to foreshadow the original recommendation.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So I'll put this to the vote. All those in favour? So that's Councillor McLennan, McWilliam, Carter, Wilding and Hamilton. And against, Councillors Plipka and Ames. So, councillors, we will move on to what was item 12.7, now item 12.5, which is the draft public health plan. So I think this is again Ms Shaw.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The town's required to prepare the public health plan under the requirements of the future Part 5 of the Public Health Act. It effectively provides for a proactive approach for the town in terms of public health planning for the health and wellbeing of the district, as well as the long-term health outcomes for the community. We've liaised with the Department of Health and the community on the draft plan. The key issues that we have identified through that process has been around heart disease and obesity, mental health, nutrition, physical inactivity, environmental health protection, community safety, and alcohol and drug use. And if I can, Madam Mayor, I'd just like to take the opportunity to commend the town's public health officers on this. Our environmental health officers have put a great deal of work into the draft plan so far, and I think we're quite excited that it could potentially be going out for advertising.
I concur. This is it's very good work. So, okay, councillors, do you have any questions on this one? Councillor McLennan.
I know I'm very annoying. I sent through a question this afternoon to our acting CEO, or interim CEO, I'm not sure what your actual title is, sorry, Mr. Gibson. And it was around one of the priority areas that was identified about having smoke-free environments. And you may have seen my questions, councillors, and in response, Mr. Gibson identified that another local government, City of Vincent, had included in their public health plan about... let me get the wording correct. To having a smoke-free town centre, and I was just wanting to seek some advice from yourself about whether you thought that would be an appropriate inclusion for us to advertise to our community along with similar lines to what City Vincent has proposed.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So there are two actions that the town has included in the draft action table for public comment that relate to smoking. They're at 10.3.5 and 10.3.7. They relate to promoting health promotion campaigns from the Department of Health. So I think most councillors would be familiar with the Quit Smoking campaign. So in terms of whether or not the town would look at enforcing a provision such as banning smoking in all public areas, under the tobacco legislation that we have already, it's actually illegal to smoke in public places in Western Australia, such as shopping centres, hospitals, schools, etc. One of the requirements under the Public Health Act in terms of the inclusions in a public health plan includes reporting mechanisms. So eventually we would need to report back to the Department of Health on the effectiveness of the actions that we have included in the plan. So whilst we did consider providing, say, a ban throughout the town centre for smoking, the ability of the town to actually enforce that requirement and then report back on its effectiveness to the Department of Health would be quite difficult. And for that reason, we chose to only include provisions about health promotion in respect to disbenefits of obviously smoking. But it is, of course, open for council to consider that, and we can include that in the draft for public consultation.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm wondering, are you aware what Vincent is proposing for how they might enforce and monitor as per the requirements of their public health plan?
Thank you, through you, Madam Mayor. So typically environmental health officers would undertake enforcement of the smoking legislation. So I'm unsure of what the City of Vincent is doing in terms of their designated officers in that respect. The town currently has two environmental health officers that are obviously undertaking a range of functions like mosquito management, food inspections, public building premises inspections, etc. So I think there would be limited capacity for us to undertake enforcement of smoking as well.
Councillors, further questions on this item? So, councillors, we have an officer recommendation. Do I have a mover for the officers? Councillor Plifka, seconded Councillor Ames. Do I have anyone against? I'll declare that carried. So, councillors, we now move to what was item 12.8, now item 12.6, which is the draft council briefing session policy. This would be yourself, Mr. Gibson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Nothing particularly to add in response to the briefing session last week, but I do note Madam Mayor sent through a draft amended, further amended, council policy that may be tabled tonight. In response, councillors would have seen a slightly reworked version of that. Madam Mayor reviewed it and was satisfied that it met her wishes. So if council was to pursue a slightly amended policy, it would be recommended that it be the one that was sent through this afternoon.
May I just ask to seek clarification on what exactly changes were and how that will affect the briefing sessions?
Would you like me to read it out?
Yeah.
Okay. So, councillors, what I'll do is just read out the two changes. I originally had three changes, but with the assistance of Mr. Gibson, very much appreciated. He tidied up my wording somewhat. So it is in section 5, which relates to deputations, and one of the changes is now 5.3. A person making a deputation is to request as such by A, making a written request to the CEO before midday on the day of the briefing session, or B, making a request to the presiding person at the briefing session, which I don't believe that's controversial at all, because that is what already exists in our standing orders, meeting procedures, I believe. The second change was where a request is received pursuant to clause 5.3A, the CEO may either approve the request or refer it to the presiding member to decide whether or not to approve the request. So those are the two changes, essentially. There was a change in sequencing, but that was recommended by Mr. Gibson, but it doesn't actually change the other content as such. So, councillors, do you have any questions on Councillor Plifka?
These amendments govern the interplay between the Mayor and the CEO in deciding what should happen for a deputation, and both the Mayor and the CEO are happy with what's being proposed. Okay.
Any other questions, Councillor Ames?
Yeah, I might just ask one question at, and through you, Madam Mayor. The statement you had in the amendment regarding a deputation at the briefing session.
Yes, that's
during, once the meeting has gone into motion, or slightly before the meeting, so you're aware of that deputation being made, because you don't want to be put on the spot in the period that the deputation. Just want to find out if that was something that you and the CEO have discussed to make it a bit easier for presiding member.
So that's clause 5.3.
Right.
Now, that actually exists in our, essentially exists in our local meetings.
Correct.
Procedures, but the one that was of more interest to me was 5.4, which is reads, where a request is received pursuant to clause 5.3A, the CEO may either approve the request or refer it to the presiding member to decide whether or not to approve the request, bearing in mind that the CEO will receive those requests before midday. So that, to my mind, that captures the intent of what I was after, and I am very happy with that wording, so it's much tidier than what I had drafted. So, councillors, are there any further questions in relation to this? Okay, so I would like to move the officer's recommendation with those amendments. And I'll just check that the minutes clerk is comfortable with the information.
Yes,
thank you. Do I have a seconder, Councillor McLennan? Do I have anyone against? I'll declare that carried. Okay, so give me a minute. Thank you for your attendance.
Thank you.
So, councillors, that brings us to the end of the reports, because the others were all moved on block. So we now move to notices of motions of which previous notice has been given, which is 13.1. And I will ask Councillor Wilding to read out her notice of motion, just the notice of motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. My notice of motion, excuse me, is that Council 1 notes that diversity in our community is a strength that should be nurtured and supported, and 2, request the CEO to facilitate flying the rainbow flag in front of the Administration Centre, 48 Old Perth Road, Bassendean, for the duration of the month of November 2022, temporarily replacing the municipal flag.
Thank you. So I'll just ask our interim CEO, Mr. Gibson, if there is any other commentary the administration would like to make
in regards to this?
Through Madam Mayor, as set out in the agenda, there's no objection to the proposal. If Council does indeed proceed down this path, the flag for the month of November will be used and flown as a replacement to the Town of Aston corporate flag.
Okay. Councillors, are there any questions? Okay, so Councillor Wilding, you're moving this. Councillor McLennan, you look like you were going to second this. Okay, so we have a mover and a seconder. Anyone against? Congratulations, I declare that carried. So that's very good. Okay, so do we have any notices of motion for the next meeting? Councillor Carter.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just to confirm that the notice of motion that I put up previously is going to be in that one. So, and that was confirmed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Councillor Carter, I did raise, I think it was at the briefing, I think I raised the electric weeding trial, and the report for that is not due back from WALGA until the beginning of next year. And my question was whether it would be advantageous to have that in a report. So there is some, there would be conflict between the 3-month timeline and whether we would have new information next month, and whether there would be ability to wait until we see the electric weeding trial report. So I would be happy to discuss that, but if after the meeting, it's yes.
I don't think that changes the import at all. If we have an electric weeding trial that's successful and can be used, fantastic. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't change anything really.
So could I ask a question there? Well, perhaps this should be for the staff. Would there be any new information in the next month that could contribute to the report for what we've or add to what we've already seen?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. No, I wouldn't expect we'd have information within the next month, and the electric weeding trial is involving a different scale of electric weeding that wouldn't be relevant for playgrounds.
Okay. Okay, so would you like to answer Councillor Carter's first question? Sorry, I appear to have interrupted. I apologise for that, Councillor.
Thank you. Yes, it will be listed on the next Council meeting agenda.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. Councillors, there's no urgent business. There's no confidential business. So I will declare this meeting closed at 7 o'clock. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
And thank you, staff.